Hey up there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 494. This is the heater edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, and this is the second go-round. So hopefully we'll get everything done a little bit better. See, the first time around, I made a big deal out of giving Steve the headphones, and then through my own, shall we say, incompetence, I left other music running in the background. So when we went back to listen to it, I was like, wow, that's really loud, and it shouldn't ought to be that loud. It kind of...
Oops.
You could no, that wasn't your fault at all. You really couldn't hear anything.
Nah.
It was bad. I mean, I'm sure if you've been listening to the podcast for a long enough time, you realize when I do that every once in a while, that the talk beds, the music that we talk over, run a little bit longer. And this was epic.
Oh yeah, it was bad.
And this is the first time we've ever had to re-record around here with Steve on the team, so he's been doing a good job so far. This one was entirely my fault. So we have a wonderful show lined up for you today. We're calling it the heater because, well, I mean, this has been a rough week around these parts, and somehow I turned into Western. But no, it's been a pretty rough week. We had a lot of temperatures, like 80-90% humidity, up over 100 degrees.
Oh yeah,
it was like 103 one day, 102 the next, 101 the last day, and that's just not right.
No, it was extremely hot.
So it was like I think in July we had 19 days out of 25 last when I heard it. Not talking about the whole month, because they gave us the statistic early. It was like up to the 25th we had 19 days of over 90 degrees.
Wow!
I do not want to see my electric bill at this point. I'm not happy with this. So, all right, nobody's getting food for the next 3 months, but hey, we got you for a caffeination for you right here. And you know what? Coffee's cheap and healthy.
That's right.
The caffeination is lovingly nestled along with all of its friends over at www.caffeination.com. I am obviously here with my good friend.
This is Steve.
And this is Paul, and we're here trying to give you a good show for the second time around. Hopefully we'll be funnier than the first, because hey, it obviously wasn't good enough for fate to let live. So we're just going to chalk that up to experience. So if you're looking for us, I can be found at paul@caffeination.com.
Or I could be found at steve@caffeination.com.
See, he even did the accent this time. That's why this is funny. All right. If you're looking to leave comments, feedback, suggestions, you can shoot an email off to that, or you can email one at caffeination. Like I said, mine's actually paul@caffeination.com. I didn't mess that one up. caffeination@caffeination.com probably won't work, although I should probably make that an address just in case.
Yeah, you never know.
All right. We have a listener line that's 215-240-1319, twitter.com/caffeination, or...
Lost fears.
All right, thanks for being on the ball, Steve. It's only the second time. This was dodgeball, you'd be out, boy. All right. It's going to be a late night. This is not good. All right, so like I said, we got a lot of fun stuff. And the comment that I made last time, and I'm sure it was a lot funnier then, but I think if you have super wind chills and all these other fun things that are going around, 3 days over 100, 3 days over 90 gets you a heat wave. 3 days over 100 should be like a microwave or something.
That's good.
See, you like that? That's See, good. I read the joke this time.
Yeah.
See, that's original. That right there is genuine laughter.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff. Everybody is listed over techpodcasts.com. And we are also a proud member of the Puzzle Piece production family. Everything is listed over at puzzlepiecepro.com. If you'd like to find out more what that means, there will be a logo service coming online very shortly. It's going to be an official one that's all up there. I've been doing logo work and graphic design for years. And I'm actually going to start branching out and making sure that a lot of the other stuff that I'm doing kind of all falls in. We have one single price point for everything that you could possibly need. So if you are interested in the logo, nothing that looks exactly like the Caffeination, but if you like the style, you like our swerve, head on over and just check us out, all right? All right, we have two sponsors for today's Caffeination. The first sponsor is our last time being sponsored by the Coffee Scoop. I'd like to send a huge thank you to Warren and the gang over at the Coffee Scoop. You can find them at freshcoffeescoop.com. They produce unbelievable coffee. They're a specialty coffee roaster here in Pennsylvania. And you can find them over at freshcoffeescoop.com. They are both certified organic and guaranteed fresh. Your order is roasted when you order it. So they do great work. They produce wonderfully tasteful coffee, and I cannot thank them enough for sponsoring us for the month of July. So thank you very much. All right. We also have a brand new sponsor here for today. Today's sponsor or show is sponsored in part by Carbonite.com. Carbonite allows you to create and back up all of your stuff online. It automatically backs everything up whenever you're online. That means that in the face of an inevitable disaster, whether you have a crash, a virus, your computer is stolen, you drop it in a lake, everything is there. You don't have to worry about the physical machine itself beyond what you have to do. So, obviously you want to get something back if it's stolen. But the real important stuff to you is always going to be there. All those photos you took of your kids, all those pictures you took on your honeymoon, anything that you have that you want to save is there. Carbonite has helped to restore over 7 billion computer files that might otherwise have been lost forever. This is an unbelievable service. With one simple sign-up and a little bit of setup, it's honestly incredibly simple. You have no excuse now not to back up your files. You can access all of your files privately from any computer that has access to the internet, or you can even do it with an iPad or a smartphone. So this is unlimited backup for your PC or your Mac anytime, anywhere, and it's only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month for a really big peace of mind. And it's easy to get started. It only takes a couple minutes. So please start your free 15-day trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card is required. Use the offer code TPN and you will get 2 free months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com, and the offer code for 2 free months is TPN. Thank you ever so much to Carbonite for helping sponsor the Caffeination Podcast. It is a wonderful joy to have a new sponsor here on the show. We love bringing new people in. We love having people experience new products, and we are really happy to have you on board. So thank you ever so much. All right, so what'd you do geeky this week, Steve?
I beat Duke Nukem.
You beat Duke Nukem.
That's right. I told you a week ago that I'd beat it, and I beat it 3:30 this morning.
Yeah. You really pushed it at the end just to make sure that you did it, right?
That's right.
So you would have been come hell or high water. You would have had it done.
I would have had it done. If I had to bring it over here to get it done, I would have gotten it done.
It's a point of pride at this point. I mean, and he even found a couple things that I didn't find through my initial playthrough. So what is your initial impression of this?
You know what? I thought everything was great. It took you back to, of course I played Duke Nukem back in 96 when it came out. And, it definitely takes you back. It takes you away from, the games that everybody talks about today, Call of Duty, Metal Gear, Battlefield, whatever all the people are playing nowadays, it definitely
takes you.
Yeah, that's right. It definitely takes you away from that, and it brings back, the classic feeling of going through a game, the bosses and all that. It's actually a great, great game to play.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well, and I'm really happy that you did. The load times, I mean, you were saying the same thing. Like, you didn't actually fall asleep during any of the load times, but I don't think you were playing it at the same end of your schedule that I was.
No, but you know what? There was a couple of times, 2 o'clock this morning when I'm trying to beat it, and I'm just, starting to fall asleep. And I fought through it. You know what? I think that was the biggest problem, though, the loading time, because it's a minute for each time. And if you play the game and, you die and you everything starts up, 30 seconds later you die again, that's another minute. It's a pain.
I think it irritated me more when I died at the beginning of the level than when I died at the end. Usually I get irritated when I die right before a save point, because you just had all that work and you're almost there.
Right.
This time I got irritated because I have to wait a minute to get back to the beginning of the level. Okay, that's fine. But when you just start the level and you just finished waiting, it's like you step out onto it and you forgot that some goofball throws a pipe bomb, and you're like, boom, no, what, no, why did I walk through that door? So it that's the only thing, and hopefully it'll be fixed with a new engine and a new everything. So I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
I'm just glad I didn't throw my controller at the TV. That definitely would have been a problem.
It's almost happened a couple times recently. Oh. You've been better.
I've been better.
Since you bought the TV.
That's right. And that's an expensive TV.
Yeah, since you actually bought it. And it's not your parents' TV and your parents' controller anymore.
It's mine.
Same here. You got to respect things. That's why we have nice things now.
That's right.
All right, so geeky this week for me, I was reading a lot of comics on the Marvel app, and I got to tell you, I love the fact that they have the free comics, and I'm really trying hard to justify the fact that, for unlimited comics throughout the year, they're only asking $60, and if I was to buy as many comics as I want to read, that would far exceed $60. And I'm like, wow, I can get the anthologies on there. I can go soup to nuts, front to back. If I wanted to, I could read X-Men from way back in the 60s all the way to today in one long session if I really felt like it. And
right.
That, like, that kind of continuum and that kind of usefulness just doesn't exist in print. You honestly can't do it. And, you know, the actual circulation of comics is getting smaller and smaller. So, yeah, you're not going to have the collectible issues or anything like that, but you're not going to have the price tag that comes along with them either. So, if I had a tablet, I think I would probably be a lot more apt to spend this, because reading it on the phone is a little bit irritating to me. And if I'm at my desktop computer, I got other fun things that I'm going to usually do. But if I'm on my lunch break and I'm trying to just relax, it's really nice to read a comic or two. And they have some really good ones. They had a couple Daredevil ones, which I'm not a huge Daredevil fan.
Right.
But they had a couple Daredevil ones. They had some Spider-Man ones, you know, all in the free section. So these aren't like no-name, like fake superheroes. Hey, look, it's the Black Wasp Hornet Man. It's like, no. These are honest to God, normal comics. So it's pretty cool. So, all right. I'm also playing a ton of Mass Effect 2. So Steve's probably going to play Mass Effect 1. He's going to try and beat my time. I was not on a speed run. My time's around 34 hours, 35 hours. To do one full playthrough of all the characters to up to a certain point, that's the only thing I'm going to accept. Let me put it to you this way. If you get all the characters up and all the characters are loyal, then you're fine. Depending on the decisions you make at the end, we'll see if it actually works out.
We'll have to find out.
So 34 hours. A speed run through, which is very possible to do, especially if you've already played through it once, you can do anywhere from 14 to 20 hours, which is really easy, honestly. The main storyline will drive you a lot quicker than the rest of it wants you to go.
Okay.
So
tune in next week.
Yeah, tune in next week to see if Steve actually beat my time and had the same kind of achievements that I did. I know there's shows out there called Achievement Hunter where they actually do all the stuff and they find out how to do it. We might have to do an Achievement Throwdown.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our Geeky This Week. What did you do Geeky This Week? Shoot us an email over at caffeination@gmail.com, or if it's specific to either one of us, or if you'd like to do a throwdown with either one of us to see, hey, if you'd like to do a gaming session with one of us. We've already played with a couple people who listened a couple times. That was
That's
pretty
right.
fun.
That was fun.
So if you're interested, you have an Xbox 360, and when I get the new beast that we're both staring at up and running, the new caffeination machine, when I get it up and going, if there's some people interested in doing PC gaming, maybe I'll rock some of that out. Maybe we'll do some Team Fortress 2.
Maybe.
Because it's free. It's going to be free forever. So, forever. You got your laptop. I can install it on this one. I mean, heck, we might be able to get some other people in on that, too. It'd be fun. Caffeination gaming session. All right. Coffee and tea all around. So what you got caffeinated?
Water.
Water?
Which is very surprising, but you know what? It's just because before the show, between dinner and one of those full carton of Ben & Jerry's Boston Cream Pie ice creams, I need water.
Yeah, I'm all right with you on that. I had a big helping of Southern Lemon Pie ice cream. I love the Southern Lemon Pie ice cream. It's just, you can't even think about food right now. So that's a good thing that I guess we had to re-record in the food sections at the end of the show.
That's right.
So if you hear a thump at the end of the show, it's because he passed out because we were talking too much about greasy goodness.
I feel like John Candy in The Great Outdoors.
Yeah. Hey, if I get the dessert down, can I throw a couple of hats at for the kids? All right, so we're done that. We got Geek Cruft. This is the first thing that we got up for you here is honestly a really revolutionary concept by a man by the name of Ilac Diaz. He's a Filipino man who's really trying to give back to the community. I think he's a Filipino man. But it's a lot of really interesting stuff. And what it's called is Isang Litrong Luwanag. And I'm probably butchering that language, but what it basically means is a leader of light. Let me paint the scene for you here so you kind of understand. Like, it took both Steve and myself each time. Like, when I first saw it, I really didn't understand it at first. And when he first saw it, the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a little hard to figure out how this is helpful. And because we live in a completely different reality. These people have next to no money. They live on less than, you know, $100 a year in some cases. There's really, really nothing. So if you're saving them a couple cents a day, you're saving them enough to eat at some point in time in the future. And that is huge. So these people living in shanty towns in Manila, in different places in the middle of the Philippines, and, you know, places in India and other places that have, like, abject poverty all over the place. The most common shanty town setup is basically, you know, four blank walls and a corrugated metal roof. And you know what? The cat's even here for the retaping. That's good. But, but you know, it's a corrugated metal roof. And while it is structurally sound, and while, yes, they do have windows on the side, various different kinds of windows and everything, there's not enough space in between any of these houses to actually let good light through. So what people end up using is, first of all, there's a fire hazard of them using candles inside. And second of all, they end up using what little money they have to pay for the electricity so that they can do normal things in their own house, like clean, eat, and work. So it's like there's a laundry lady in there who actually cannot afford to both run the iron that she uses to iron people's clothing and at the same point in time use the light so that she can see what she's doing. So she has to use an extension cord and borrow one and iron outside. I mean, that this is the kind of thing that we're talking about. So what they're doing here is they're actually replacing the lights in people's house with solar energy, in the truest form of solar energy. They're drilling a big hole through there. They're sticking a liter water bottle, through the hole. They're filling that water bottle all the way to the top with a mixture of bleach and a little bit of water and bleach. Other way around probably would still work, but still. And then they're capping it off and sealing the whole thing. And what ends up happening was completely surprising to me. I mean, you were saying the same thing.
Yeah, you know what? And you're absolutely right. You know, all the electricity we have here, you know, you and everything, all the resources we have, you really can't see, you know, what is going on over there. And for them to, you know, just to sit here and watch the video that they present, you know, you really start thinking about, you know, what they actually go through. And you think to yourself, you know, something as small as that can mean a great deal to them.
It basically, what happens is that the actual bottle of water sticking through the thing, the top of the bottle of water acts as a prism and funnels the light straight down into it, and then it scatters everywhere so that it turns it basically into a 55 to 60 watt light bulb. And it can fill a 40 square foot room entirely with good quality light. It's clean light. It's bright light. They don't have to worry about windows getting dirty. They don't have to worry about extra vectors for attackers or anything coming in. And it is really unbelievable the amount of change this can actually show for people. And they've already installed 10,000 of these. Ilax, his goal is to do 1 million of these by 2012. And the best part about this, when you're comparing this with other different charities like Charity Water or like any of the other celebrity-sponsored ones, they require something. They require people with a lot of set of skills and a lot of materials. And there was actually another one of the videos up there where he was comparing his technology to solar panels. And he said, "Your technology is fantastic, but these people live on $100 a year. And you're going to ask them to spend $100 on one part of your system?" He says, "It's just not something we can do here." And he says, "Your technology is wonderful, but we really needed to go with more of a groundswell approach." So trash is everywhere, especially plastic, because it never goes away. So using the water bottles to actually make this situation work is unbelievable. Please head on over to the website. We have it listed up there. It's actually the Filipino words for a liter of light. So it's isanglatronglawanag.org, or you can just head over to the Cafe Nation and click on the Leader of Light link. It is unbelievable. You can donate if you're going to be in the area, or you know any groups that are heading to the area. You can urge them to volunteer, and you can also sponsor projects. So he says the best part about this is that you can teach people how to do this, and once they figure out how to do it, they don't need anybody there with special skills. Anybody can cut a hole in their roof and jam a water bottle up in there, fill it with water and bleach, and then just go on their way. He says, you know, it's like a four-step process. It takes 20 minutes to install one of these, and it can change somebody's life. So that's the heartwarming, interesting stuff that we have for you up front and personal. The next story is obviously tailor-made for one Steven.
That's right. It's very heartwarming to me. And basically what this is you know, Comic-Con came up, you know, this week. And it's one of the biggest stories going around. And basically what this is Greg Benson, who does video montages, went around Comic-Con talking to all the girls. as they're dressed up, you know, in all different costumes, and of course does what he does best with his inappropriate comments.
I gotta say, I was actually really impressed with the age range of people who were dressing up.
Yeah.
And since I'm a happily married man, I'm here to comment on the build quality of some of the costumes. And I would say that some of them are incredibly well thought out and well put together. And other ones are a little sloppy, need a little work. And some other ones probably shouldn't have been in the video.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, some of them were quite unique. And you know what? You're absolutely right with the age of you know, some of these people. You know, you would think, you know, between 16 and 30 would be, you know, right around where these people would dress up and do all this. And you know, we've had a couple of articles of some of the people who are famous for doing these cosplay costumes and everything like that. But you know, after watching the video, you could see people, you know, almost twice the age of, you know, of me. You know, 50, 60 years old, still doing this.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it shows that, you know, geek culture and, you know, the fan culture of these different subgenres is really cool. And in fact, I know that there's one guy who was working for Marvel, their digital liaison, Agent M, who was there, and he was giving out stuff. So if you followed him on Twitter or Tumblr, he was telling you what he was giving out. He was giving out passes to Captain America. He was making fun of people watching Twilight. I mean, it was just interesting to watch. And if you followed him, and if you followed any of the other people, oh, by the way, here's a story for a sitcom for you. And I didn't tell you this the last go around. Agent M, the guy who's the digital liaison for Marvel, actually lives in an apartment with the digital liaison from DC.
Yeah.
So, and the other person who lives in their apartment actually works for Image Comics. So it's just a huge geek house. So I just thought that was really cool. And he, you know, people joke about it all the time. He says, there's never any tension in the house. There's just a lot of really good comics to read. So, all right, I thought that was really cool. The next thing, I would love to find out more information about this. If you have any information at all, please shoot it to caffeination@gmail.com. We're talking dropping dark beats like it's going out the box. This is the functional boombox and AT-AT sculpture. It is exactly what you see. If you click on the wonderful link at the bottom of the show, at the bottom of the article that they have there, it's the zen77990.zen.co.uk/AT-AT. You're just going to see six pictures of this thing. It's a boombox and an AT-AT put together. That's all you need. There's a little black spray paint on the AT-AT. I don't know what else you would need to do to make this any more awesome. I would love to see a little Stayin' Alive montage with this.
Yeah, I would have to agree. You know, well, seeing a little dance make a little love, you know.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, except if it was doing Stayin' Alive, I think you'd have to have the feet actually be white.
Oh, so we got spray paint.
Yeah, I think it would work out. So I love this. I love the groove that it looks like it has, but I got to tell you, we need more information. I talked about this a long time ago on the Caffeination podcast, but I never got the chance to actually find out anything more. And not to tell you that I haven't done my due diligence, but there ain't no more real information on it.
That's one of the reasons why I really didn't want to do not much with it, because it's a great concept, you know. You know, just to see, you know, I'm already thinking, you know, maybe we can put the iPod on the head as a plug-in, you know. But, of course, you know, all you see is the pictures.
It's a tape deck, two speakers, some controls, and an AT-AT with some antennas. I love the antennas. I think the antennas actually kind of make it. And the photography is actually really good, too. So maybe, I don't know. We'll do a little digging, see if we can find anything out. If anybody knows something, please send it in. Next one we got for you?
Would be the Star Wars hitting the Xbox, and what this is, you know, the Xbox 360 being turned into R2-D2, you know, comes complete with the blue light power, you know.
Blue light special?
Blue light. No, that's good. The blue light special, and, you know, it definitely comes, you know, with a lot more, you know, 320 gig hard drive, you know, the gold C-3PO controller, and the white Kinect sensor.
Yeah, this is the only place you can get the white Kinect sensor. I love the idea. The only problem that I've had, and I talked at length about this on the last thing, for $450 with what you're getting, this console system is around 5 or 6 years old. Give me the second controller. Yes, it could be an exact copy of the first, but come on, who hasn't lived in a house with more than one kid? Somebody always wants the special looking controller. With the PlayStation, I still have my PlayStation down here. the original PS1, and you know what? It has a green controller and a gray controller. We fought over that green controller like you would not believe. You would have thought that it made your character run faster, jump higher, and do more good things than any of the other ones. But you know what? No, it's just a fun-looking green controller. And this is just a fun-looking gold controller, and that's just a fun-looking R2-D2 thing. There's no rollback pricing on this one, though. That is a blue light special, but $450 is right around what you'd expect to pay.
Yeah, it's a good deal, actually.
Yeah, and you know, I like that they actually throw an extra game in there. I miss the fact that people throw games in with consoles.
Right.
It's like you're cutting off a leg and selling it on the black market to buy a console. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, games are separate. Really? Thank you. All right, by the way, we were talking about this a little while ago, and do you realize that you can make almost any word sound inappropriate if you say it slow enough? Console. All right, there we go. Just think about that as you go about your day.
That's right.
That's a little aside. This is all started with the word at the very beginning of the show, moist. I don't know what to say beyond that.
No.
There you go.
You don't have to.
And moist actually fits right into the next one, waterfall. Specifically the M.C. Escher waterfall. Actually, it sounds a little creepier with that one. It sounds like kind of like you should be driving a white van.
That's right.
Yeah. A little white van etiquette. Yeah. Free ice cream written on the side or something like that. Yeah, it's just not going to be good for the kids.
Not at all.
All right. M.C. Escher, the famous perspective lithographer, the guy who basically blew your mind and you really never thought, you really never knew exactly what it is that you were looking at. You know, he has this stairways going up, his relativity piece has the stairways going every which way with the scale figures on it, and his iconic waterfall piece is actually an impossible to build video, or an impossible to build contraption. Basically, the water travels uphill to pour back on its own windmill, which powers the water to travel uphill. That can't function. It does not work. There's only one place in the world where water will actually flow uphill, and that's the River Nile. That is the only place in the world where water will actually flow against the form of gravity, or will actually flow against the flow of gravity. It actually is the only north. It's the only river in the world that flows completely opposite the direction of the earth that it's sitting on. So it actually sits and flows directly north instead of south. So basically anything below the equator flows south, and anything... something's wrong there. But it's the only one that flows the wrong way. And this is not the River Nile. This is some kind of visual trickery that we have not yet figured out yet. Like, there's been different things that said this is different series of towers all put together. Some gentleman who's Russian put this together. It is unbelievable. You're sitting there, and he's pouring the water in. It flows up the canal and then pours back on top of it. If he did this digitally, he is unbelievably talented. If he did this through trickery with different composited camera shots, he's unbelievably talented. I think no matter what, he obviously needs to be watched a little bit more closely.
Yeah.
So, all right, moving right along to the next thing we got for you. What is this, Steve?
This would be promise rings made out of Lego pieces. And basically what this is you have all these cultures, you know, Clado rings for the Irish, and, you know, although, you know, everybody has their different thing. And for geeks, people decide to put something a little geeky and put some Legos together to make promise rings. And for $125, you know, you get one... You get one piece.
Is it one piece or is it a set for $125?
I think it's $125 for one piece.
One piece. No, I think it's for the set.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's interlocking ring sets. $125 for an interlocking ring set.
Well, there you go. I'm corrected.
All right.
And I was corrected by the cat as well.
All right. Yeah, I think it's really cool because it's a one of a kind piece. Basically, they have to the method of casting that they're using. They destroy the Lego piece that they're actually using to show. That they're actually using to create that piece of art.
Right.
So, and it's all sterling silver, so you're basically paying for the weight of the silver that you're using.
Yeah.
I mean, precious metals are going through the roof right now. I mean, if you're looking for stock tips, this is definitely the wrong show to go on. But I'm telling you right now, gold and silver, if you got a little something, something, you know. But, no, I'm telling you, it's expensive to try and buy any kind of jewelry, any bling to do anything right now. So, this is... It's $125. I think that's well spent. I mean, because I know I spent more. Ours were gold, but Jen's was regular gold. Mine's white gold because I'm not a real big fan of yellow gold.
No, I don't like yellow gold myself.
But and my actual wedding ring is stainless steel because, you know, I'm kind of clumsy and I didn't want to have a gold ring crushed around my finger. And it's actually happened a couple times. A stainless steel ring was a very good choice for me. Specifically, I had 4 sheets of sheetrock dropped on my hand when I was trying to put them on top of the car, and I pulled my hand out and the ring stayed, and I was like, woohoo! Hooray for not breaking anything. But all right, back to this. I think it's a really cool idea. I love the fact that they interlocked. All innuendo aside. I think you could even do your own little Wonder Twins power activate thing.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as soon as I saw it.
Or you could even have, you know, you could rename your hands. You know, there's a lefty and righty and clock them in. But I think that'd just be kind of funny. So I thought this is really cool. And it's not that expensive when you really consider how expensive rings are.
Yeah, they tend to be, you know, pretty high. So this is actually pretty cheap.
This is from Ruby Girl over at Etsy, or you could just follow the link over at the Cafe Nation homepage. So we got you covered right there. All right, and the next little thing that we got for you here is turning scrap into robots. This is really cool. Will W. has a gift for making art from scrap. Again, this is a story from Etsy. His username over at Etsy is Reclaimed to Fame. I love the style of this guy's robots. I mean, he takes things like jewelry boxes, old tin sheets, lampposts. Those are candlesticks that are the feet of this one. 2 little spoon rests that are on the end of the hands. I mean, these are really cool. And he bends them all up, he twists them all together, welds them in just the right way, and he turns them into robots and other sculptures that have a personality all their own. And since each one's made from a unique bag of scrap, then each one has its own thing. So you're basically bidding on an original piece of art. While, yes, they are expensive, some of them are around $425 for one individual thing. If you're an art collector, it's not that bad considering what you could spend your money on. I love the personality that shows up in some of them. We have Brenda and Harry. I'm a fan of Harry. Harry has a fun little thing going on there.
Yeah, he does. It's a little...
I don't know what to call it exactly, but it's really cool. There's a whole bunch of other stuff over at his Etsy store. Remember, that's Reclaimed to Fame. He does a lot of stuff with dogs and a lot of stuff with robots. So he has robot dogs and different things like that, and they're all made out of... jewelry boxes, hat boxes, and all other kinds of things. This looks like goggles, rather, with like tie clips and stuff like that on. It's just really cool. I love the art as it is all over it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next little thing we got for you here is the creepiest story we have in today's show. I can't actually look at this picture, so you're going to take the entirety of this article, and whatever happens, you are responsible for.
That's right. And what we're all freaked out about here is dolls, which are cloned from you yourself. And what I'm talking about is Clone Factory, which is basically a company out from Japan, has brought the ability to take a picture of somebody, you know, a digital concept all the way around, and basically make a doll face out of them. You know, which you can make yourself a little Ken for Barbie.
That's and just freaky. I'm sorry. It looks way too photorealistic.
It's real scary. When I first saw the picture, you know, I thought it was real, and you pointed it out, but, you know,
I didn't. She has a doll arm.
She has a doll arm. I didn't notice that at first.
And I'm not somebody who's freaked out by, like, ventriloquist dolls like my wife is or anything like that. It's just weird. And in fact, like, it's to the point where I don't know if you can actually do that from just a photo. It's just a photo?
All it is basically what they do is they take a 3D concept of, you know, your whole image.
It's a 3D scan.
Right.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense, because this looks like that buck-toothed woman staring at me, and she's just freaky because it looks like somebody photoshopped her head onto a Barbie. It's not even a good quality Barbie. But, I mean, that's a lot of money.
She's just sitting there going, hey, dollface.
Oh, God.
And so, I mean, you know, to get something like this done, it is pretty pricey. It will hit your wallet for $1,750. It's all yours. Just to have a scary resemblance of you turn a little tiny.
Yeah, there's way too many inappropriate comments for this, especially on a rated G show, so we're just going to move on beyond that.
And
I will, however, say, unfortunately, that in the process of building our architecture building, we had to value engineer out the 3D scanner, so we will not be able to make a giant picture of my face for the caffeination layer.
Shucks.
I was going to make a 4-foot wide me. I almost made a 4-foot wide me before I started watching what I ate.
Oh,
but didn't jump. All right. Next thing we got here is Geek vs. Foob by Steven Anderson. I love these shirts. Basically, this is perfect for what Steve's experiencing right now.
Yeah.
Because he's still leaning back in his chair and thinking large thoughts. Because have you ever tried to impress somebody by eating? I mean, just like all out. We're talking like from the great outdoors, John Candy sitting there trying to finish ye old 96er. You know, there's just nothing but gristle and fat on that plate.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's like you have like those eating challenges. It's like, you know, if you're eating a monster burger at Bennigan's, when Bennigan's used to be around, that used to be something where if you ate the monster burger, you got the dessert for free, and your father was horrified at the fact that not only could I eat the monster burger, but my father ate the monster burger, my uncle ate the monster burger, and we're all finishing it and going, woohoo, we got free dessert. And he's like, where are you fitting it? And your dad's sitting there, like, daintily picking apart, like, his bacon cheeseburger or something.
That's right.
And leaving the bun there. He's like, I just wanted the meat. But, you know, it's like, I'm backed off of those escapades now. But, you know, I pass on the crown to other people. But you know, I love these T-shirts. And these are all geek-themed eating accomplishment T-shirts. So it's, I made it through the burger blockade. 9 Imperial Thermal Exhausted Grilled Fully Turned Dark Side Burgers, only available at the Emperor's Fly-Through. Or I Slayed the Dragon Chili 16 Fire Wing Challenge. 'Twas not the Eye of Sauron that was on fire. The West Watchtower Eisenmouth, Mordor. Or there's I Finished Hagrid's Feast with a ton of stuff. I Finished the Dreaded Jabba's Platter. It's enough to stuff a Sarlacc. There's actually one place in Rochester, New York, that I think it's called Nick Tahoe's. And if you finish the garbage plate, you earn everybody's respect. I saw a garbage plate. I did not have a chance when I was visiting Rochester to actually attempt to eat a garbage plate. I've heard it is incredibly tasty, and it looks just like a pile of garbage. It's pretty scary.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, I think we might have to road trip.
Road trip.
Caffeination on location here in Rochester, New York. We might have walked all week, but hey, we're here now. But no, that'd be really cool. I love these designs. My favorite is actually, it's a toss-up between the Burger Blockade and the Fire Wing Challenge. So I just love a lot of the different things that they managed to work into these very simple and very enticing designs. All right, then that was the last thing we had for you in the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to burrow into the food and caffeinated bits, and then we'll head you out on your way. This is going to be a longer show if you haven't figured that out by now. Our first thing we got up here is it's a My Cafe review from Bun. This is from over at DailyShotOfCoffee.com. Mike Crimmins put the My Cafe from Bun through its paces and showed you exactly what it was capable of doing. I love his stuff. He actually really went through and showed you everything that it was supposed to be good for. But as I'm looking through it, I'm like, wow, I think that the paper pods that they're using are actually the ESE standard espresso pods. So my DeLonghi upstairs can actually work with them. And I know that a lot of other you know, high-end espresso makers and a lot of other regular espresso makers can actually use these. So you might not be as limited as you might be to something like the Tassimo, which is honestly the Tassimo's only drawback, is the fact that you actually can only buy a couple different kinds of coffee, or, you know, the Krupp's coffee maker. Now, if there was a resealable pod, I would love it. And I love the single-serve coffee maker scene. I think it's really interesting. Unfortunately, I think it might end up killing a lot of the really low-end coffee manufacturers, because not everybody needs to make a whole pot of coffee, unless you're me, and then I use the coffee pot to drink out of, because it just simplifies stuff and saves on dishes. All right, I would head on over there to DailyShotOfCoffee.com and read it. The pros and the cons are really where it stops and starts. Is fantastic. It's easy, quick and easy to use, compostable pods, so you're not wasting the environment while you're wasting your coffee, and taste is above average. Unfortunately, it's not as fresh as whole bean. It's difficult to make more than one cup of coffee at a time because it's a single sort of coffee maker, and the availability of the pods, which I will have to attest to, because when I first got my espresso machine, I was like, well, I don't have a grinder capable of doing espresso. Yet need to find those pods they're talking about. And apparently a little Star Wars got into this one too, because I never found the pods I was looking for, so it was hard to do. So if you find the pods, just let me know. But all right, next little thing we got for you here,
it would be double layered pepperoni pizza.
Are you having trouble talking about it?
Yeah, it's getting me hungry, actually. Surprisingly, now I'm getting hungry again. And You know, Papa John's has decided to, you know, throw out a little more pepperoni at you. And with this double-layered pepperoni pizza, and what they basically do is they put their, you know, regular pepperoni on a slice of pizza, and then they just start throwing it on there even more with a bigger pieces of pepperoni. And if you're a pepperoni lover, this is all you.
You know, I love me some pepperoni, but, you know, I realize there's a point at which the amount of pepperoni on the pizza and the amount of oil created by the said pepperoni baking,
yeah,
it has to be like an oil slick coming off the bottom of this thing. Unless they pre-roast the pepperoni before they put it on there to kind of, like, you know, maybe bake it or something.
Cause I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but, like, I mean, no, seriously, I mean, think about it. Because, like, the entire crust would be soaked with it, and, like, you wouldn't be able to cut it.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a ton of pepperoni. It's only $10 for a large. You should put this on that blog, This Is Why You're Fat. this is a good book and piece of pie, but, man, that is all of the points. I love me some pizza. All right, next little thing is a fun little product from over at ThinkGeek.com, Soylent Green Crackers. Soylent Green is not people. All right, well, maybe it's not all people. Maybe it's just one. Okay, maybe it's no more than three people. If you've ever seen the movie, you understand what I'm talking about. It's a horrifying future where there is no food, and eventually they start collecting people and moving them off the street and out into different, what they're calling, relocation camps. And then finally a new food comes on the market called Soylent Green, and it turns out Soylent Green is actually people. And that's the final phrase of the movie, so I've already ruined it for you, but hey, it's been out for 30 years. If you can't find a movie in 30 years, you got other problems other than the fact that maybe ruining the punchline for you. But now you can get your very own Soylent Green Crackers and just freak out everybody of the older generation if you really feel like it. Only $8.99, they are entirely made up of spinach and high-energy plankton. So they might not be people, but they are plankton.
You ruined the movie for me, you know that, right?
Yeah, I know that, but you didn't even hear about the movie until I told you, so. All right, next little thing.
Next thing we got up is RoboCup measuring cups, and basically what does it? Ooh, it's hot dog month. It's National Hot Dog Month. Did you know that?
No, it is not.
Now you do. Sorry about that, but basically what this is it's a robot that disassembles into different size cups, any from 1/4 to 1/4 of a cup to the full cup size, and it'll definitely I don't know what to say about
it. You really can't beat that. I mean, nah. This is pretty cool. I mean, for $8, you get four measuring cups, and they kind of fit together like Russian nesting dolls a little bit, and they actually, right, you know, together we form Voltron, and I'll form the head. And it's like, so I think the head's actually the third cup, and the third cup's actually usually the most useless, which is weird.
No, actually, I think it's the 1/3 of a cup for the head.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't know what I was doing there.
Yeah, learn how to count now. Just kidding. So that's 1/4, 1/3, half, full, I think.
Right.
So the legs are the full cup. I don't see how this actually works, but it looks really cool. And I think I would get it just to try and get my son interested in cooking. Because, I mean, that would be, it's like, hey, Paul, do you want to play with the robot? You can measure something in the robot's head.
That's right.
Ooh. Piece of candy. Moving right along, Mass from over at ineedcoffee.com let us know that he had updated an old article, one of my absolute favorite articles. It was originally written by Chris Arnold. Mass updated it with brand new photography and a wonderful guide. Seriously, if you're ever trying to figure out how, like, if we ever confuse you and say, hey, you know what, you're supposed to use extremely fine ground coffee for this, you're supposed to use extremely coarse ground coffee for this, and you're really unsure about what those different things mean, this is a pictorial guide. And what they did is they used what appears to be a nickel, right? That's a nickel.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a nickel. So if I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me, that you could just point them right to this thing and then click on a couple of the ads, and that gives Mass nickels. So there you go. But no, this is a really great guide on how to actually figure out what kind of how fine the coffee actually has to be in order to do what it's supposed to do. My favorite is, I love the extra fine grind, because by the time you're getting down to that, it is seriously a powder. And you could honestly just put it in your hand and blow all of it away, and it would end up being like a brown smoke. And it is just, like, maybe at that point in time, you just blow it all away, and then you inhale it, and then you got coffee. Oh. Just, that's a quick and dirty way of getting some coffee going.
Yes, it is.
But the Abriki is the pot I showed you upstairs, the copper pot.
Right.
Yeah, so. And then you have, like, it goes all the way from the Abriki, which is the powdered coffee, fine grind for the espresso, all the way up to coarse grind and extra coarse for Toddy Brewing and Cowboy Coffee. So there you go. All right, and then the last and most certainly not least, I love the fact that Coffee Nate really lit up some people on the healthy coffee scam. Now, I've had some people actually talk to me about this, and I really resisted because nobody actually gave me a sample, and I wasn't about to say anything before I'd actually tried it. But I hate the marketing associated with this stuff. This is absolutely ridiculous. Coffee in and of itself is unbelievably healthy. There's no calories in it when you drink it without sugar and milk, which you should be drinking because true coffee should be enjoyed that way. Steve does not agree with any of this because he doesn't like the taste of coffee to begin with.
But don't still, like coffee.
I know you
Although
don't.
Coffee burgers are good.
Coffee burgers are good. Thank you. But what these people are doing in Amway and other places is they're basically taking normal, natural coffee. They're somehow turning it into powder, which is instant coffee powder. So it's already like, you know, roasted and then dehydrated coffee. And then they're selling it as healthy coffee. And then, you know, putting all these extra not verified health claims on top of it. So you really need to watch the actual whole video that Coffee Nate put together over at CoffeeNate.com. But this is really on point. It gives you point A to point B, everything that's going wrong in the specialty coffee industry that's allowing for this to happen. And he just basically really lays into him. He says, basically, this smells... He's actually said, one of them smelled like your grandmother's bathroom used to. I was like, wow. That is like harsh. And you know what? I do not wish to taste that smell. So I will not be tasting that one. So, I mean, like, he's usually an incredibly down-to-earth and mellow dude. And he goes through the entire thing just as mellow and calm as he usually is. And then he starts drilling into him. And it's just beautiful. I love a good roast piece. And this is a fantastic, good coffee roast piece. So there you go. And on that incredibly bad pun, we're going to let you go for tonight. I think you've put in your time, 46 minutes. We hit a nice long show.
Yeah.
Even doing it 1.5 times.
That's right.
And you know what? We still flubbed up in the middle a couple times.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's all right. You won't hear it. We're all going to take it out in post. Or maybe we won't. Who knows? We'll see what happens. All right. Thank you ever so much for listening. This has been Paul.
And this is Steve.
And we are, this was, rather, Caffeination 494, the heater edition. So heater out. All right. Thanks for listening. And stay caffeinated, people.